The iron in our blood, as we mentioned, it actually originates from stars that exploded billions of years ago. Hi everyone.
Hi everyone, hope you all are doing fine.
Today we're going to talk about a very interesting topic, something
Yes.
that generally no one pays attention to that much, blood.
Yeah. I think this was a topic in my mind since a very long time, and I wanted to do this actually a long time ago, but then I don't know, somehow I just kept pushing it on for the further episodes, and I think today was the day, is the day that I had to do this and share this information with all of y'all. And I'm so thrilled that I'm getting the opportunity to do that.
So there is some information from Juhi, and there is some information that I have prepared from my end. So why don't you go first?
Okay, all right. Now, blood is such an important topic to talk about because the more we talk about it, the more awareness we create around that. And as you all know, blood is life. Blood is living, and it provides us with an important information, not just scientifically, but also through folklore medicine. And it's a tried and true, tested diagnostic tool that doctors use, right? So that we get a snapshot of our inner ecosystem. So when we go to the doctor to get our blood drawn and tested, but not just it's more than that, right? It's not just in the traditional systems of healing. Blood health was evaluated through pulse testing as well as through its taste, scent, and viscosity.
Used to taste it.
Yeah,
Oh,
yeah.
okay.
But then, of course, there are even other methods that were employed, and I think one of them is still practiced today. It's cupping and bloodletting.
Yeah,
And I
Ayurveda,
think,
right?
yes, and bloodletting, I think, is long forgotten. Both these methods were called upon to stir up the old coagulated blood, and it gives space for new, fresh blood to feed the tissues. But it's not just limited to blood. In fact, with cupping, person can also move their chi stagnation, which is the vital essence that we all have, and as well as toxin accumulation and the dampness in the body. So it's doing quite a lot with cupping, and with bloodletting is more when someone has high fever or someone is going through a lot of migraine issues. So during that time, they prick with needles on their head, and that's
Yeah.
how they remove blood,
But
the
don't try
fresh
that at
blood.
home.
Yes,
It's better to
because,
go to a
yeah,
professional.
that's true. And I don't even know whether bloodletting is actually practiced today, but definitely cupping, which is amazing for inflammation reduction as well. So, but not just that. In fact, in Germany and in Austria, people do use leeches as part of biomedicine because then again, leeches contain this anticoagulant properties that is needed at the site of surgery or injury, you might say. Now, in folklore medicine or in folklore tradition, blood and heart is intimately associated in so many ways, in concepts of love, knowledge, human feelings, vitality. Like when a child is born, the blood is shed by the mother, right?
Yeah.
The newborn heart beats and the blood moves, and that's how we get that healthy glow to the tissues.
Yeah, and We are not going to be talking about heart in this episode, but that together is really interesting. You know, just the heart itself is more than, first of all, it's possibly not been a pump. We'll get to that. And there is more to the heart than what we think.
Yeah. And another example is at death. We see circulation ending by oxygen not being picked up by the lungs, and the heart stops beating. Thus, there is a cessation of the glow of the tissues. So blood is but also associated with psychological values.
Oh, yes.
Such as someone has a lot of passion, or someone who is a cold-blooded person, or a hot-blooded person. Even the family lineage is another interesting topic about inheriting certain skills and habits and interests. So people do inherit good or bad blood, that's for sure.
Not literally.
Yeah. But blood, also in certain parts of the world, is a ticket to citizenship. Rather than being an inhabitant of the land or having constitutional rights, for example, until recently, in Germany, citizenship was based on blood. And even in Japan, until 1950s, Japanese nationality was primarily determined by descent from Japanese parents.
Oh, I think, but that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, of course, not now. But these are the associations that how important blood was
in the,
and you know, yeah, is tradition as well. But not just that, we also see a lot of animal sacrifices where it's a relationship between mankind and the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the Hebrew Bible as well, there was an ancient account of Cain and Abel, making it clear that animal sacrifices were conceived acceptable to the creator, whereas vegetable sacrifice were inconceivable.
That's weird.
Yeah. So this practice is still present around the world. Due to various reasons, such as to clear your or to cleanse your sins, appease the deities, or seek favors from the divine, or even in cases where traditions have been passed down through generations, as they're deeply embedded in the cultural identity and heritage of the communities. Or another case would be some cultures view animal sacrifice as a way to maintain a respectable or a respectful relationship between mankind and animal kingdom and nature. So the act of sacrifice is often accompanied by prayers and rituals that's honoring the animal's spirit. But before moving on to the southern folk medicine, that was the whole goal about this topic, which is, I think, not just in United States, but not just in south of US, but I think all across US, I think this type of medicine is being practiced by many herbalists. And but before getting to that, I would love to speak a bit on anatomy of blood, because it will be easier to understand when I get to the concepts. So blood is made in the bone marrow, and the red blood cells and the white blood cells, they're broken down in the liver and the spleen. But blood provides cells with food such as glucose, water, oxygen, that is required for generation of energy. But also it takes away carbon dioxide, and water that's generated out of the cellular metabolism is secreted as waste. So let me explain this a bit briefly to you guys, and not so much in a nuanced manner, but the working of blood or circulatory system in the body is pretty damn mystical. So y'all would see it as I go forward. So lungs pick up the oxygen, and we have hem in our hemoglobin, which binds with iron and then latches onto this oxygen and takes it along the bloodstream.
Yeah, and actually it's the iron that gives the red color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So getting into the extracellular matrix, which is your crystalline gel liquid, from there to the capillaries and then finally to the cells. And once the CO2, like which your carbon dioxide, once that is generated from the cells, it's taken back into the venules of the bloodstream and passing again through the extracellular matrix, passing into the lungs, where it gets diffused into the atmosphere. But it just doesn't end there, because we have fluids called electrolytes or cell salts that are required to maintain the fluids inside and outside of the cell, like sodium, potassium, magnesium, calcium, sulfates, phosphates, and chloride. Blood also contains platelets that come in handy when the blood vessels are damaged, so that they can clot the blood, as well as these proteins, they keep the blood inside the vessel. So inside in the center. And your HDL, which is your high density lipoprotein, and LDL, low density lipoprotein, comes and patches over the damaged vessels. But if blood proteins are low, then plasma keeps seeping out of the blood and of the blood vessels, causing edema and therefore low blood pressure and things of that nature. So as I mentioned many times, I mean, we've mentioned like a lot, and I think Arjun would also be speaking about this, about the fourth phase water, which is a semi-crystalline gel, which is your extracellular matrix. It's the structured water. So basically that's regulating, integrating, controlling the cells' processes, and also maintaining the pH. So we need this liquid gel, as I did mention in the whole process, we do need this to manage blood. Anyway, so this was just a small insight into the processing of the blood, which perfectly ties into the concept of southern blood, which southern blood medicine, which surprisingly survived through time, but actually it was it originated from Africa, and it enlists the idea of high blood, low blood, fast blood, slow blood, as well as seasoning of the blood, which means thick blood and thin blood. The latter one is interesting because the modern medicine knows about it and treats it. For example, during summer season, the blood is thinner and more watery, and it can make you feel a bit more cooler because of that. But in the winter season, the blood becomes more oilier. Therefore, it's more insulative and protective. So there is there's also presence of prostaglandins in the blood that actually influences the blood flow by causing vasodilation, which is widening of the blood vessels, and vasoconstriction, which is narrowing of blood vessels. And depending on the type of prostaglandin and the context in which it is produced, therefore, we have aspirin as a medicine. So it's derived from herbs such as willow bark and meadowsweet, which contain the salicylates that actually denature these prostaglandins in the blood, so that the part which has to thicken the blood, it thins it, and therefore it encourages more circulation. Whereas when we consider low blood, now it means that the blood is staying down at the feet and at the near the ankles, you know, not moving up. But also there's another concept of low blood pressure or blood deficiency and anemia. that can be counted into this section. And on the other hand, we have high blood. This is where the blood is staying in the head or the upper part of the body. A person who is dealing with high blood or is having too much sugary, carby food can have also restless mind, or someone who's just thinking too much, or insomnia. So these things can be a symptom pattern of this type of blood, which is high blood.
Basically, nutrition directly impacts blood.
That's true, very much so. And another pair of blood type would be fast blood and slow blood. So fast blood is where the person is experiencing anger, excitement, where emotions are out of control, and that can create quickened circulation that could lead to heart attack or stroke.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen sometimes. And in slow blood, it denotes more of a stagnant circulation where blood is perceived to be blocked due to, for example, some bruises or some deep aching pain. Even strokes and heart attack is included in this type as well. So you see, there's a significant overlap between various types of blood, which gives us an in-depth idea of how to deal pragmatically in different situations. And I really feel that blood as a topic is really fascinating and gives us so much information about our origin, identity, culture, our spiritual connection to ourselves, and our current state of health and well-being. And definitely, I think there is so much more that we can't even fathom. Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely. And I think let's just get a little more deeper into some concepts that might be fairly new to a lot of our listeners. Of course, most of us have learned in school that blood is a liquid pumped by the heart to transport oxygen and nutrients, the basic stuff,
yeah.
Right? However, we are discovering or rediscovering many things as we have started taking a more holistic look and adding to the equation forces beyond matter.
Okay.
Right? So something that we should have done since the beginning, but it's never too late. Finally, there have been studies on these lines. For instance, early embryological studies show blood moving before the heart starts beating.
Yeah.
Indicating that blood has its own inherent motion. Right?
That's true.
And Dr. Thomas Coven, in his book Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, explored these ideas, proposing that the heart acts more as a regulator rather than just a pump.
Yeah, so right? True.
That we'll get to in another episode.
Yeah.
So this perspective invites us to see blood as an active participant in circulation, even as Dewey indicated. Possessing that it possesses a vitality, as Dewey said, it makes the tissues glow, right?
There's radiance.
So it goes beyond the mere fluid dynamics, right?
Yeah.
So blood isn't just a mixture of cells and plasma. There's more to it. It's also a conductor of life. Minerals in the blood, such as iron and hemoglobin, play a crucial role in its functions and interact with electromagnetic fields, right? Because it's a mineral, after all. And these interactions can influence the blood flow and cellular functions.
So much so.
For example, practices like grounding, which is walking barefoot on natural surfaces, exposes the body to the earth's natural electric charge. And this exposure enhances blood properties by affecting the electrical state of blood and cells, potentially improving circulation and reducing inflammation. So grounding connects us electrically with the earth, neutralizing free radicals, thus reducing the risk of chronic diseases.
Yeah, and a lot of inflammation.
Exactly. And it doesn't stop there. There's a lot more to the picture. We just start getting into it. We all know that blood is largely composed of water, but not just any water, as Julie has already mentioned earlier.
I think we just love the topic of extracellular matrix.
Yeah.
Structured water.
Yeah. Dr. Gerard Pola, his work is actually, his research has introduced this concept of the fourth phase of water, which is also known as structured water, as we are discussing, or also the exclusion zone EZ water.
Yeah.
Right. So this phase exists alongside solid, liquid, and vapor, but it's a different state. So structured water is found in living cells and blood, possessing unique properties that play the crucial role in the body's overall function.
Yeah.
Because it's a part, I mean, it's
of
liquid.
Course, because it's going through the ECM, as I just told you.
Exactly.
Blood is passing through that and then reaching the cell.
Right. And structured water can store energy, as we already know,
yeah.
like a battery. And this energy directly impacts all physiological processes, including those involving blood, of course. So the structured nature of water itself within the blood, the cells,
yeah,
the blood cells, this can also explain how our blood maintains its vitality and efficiency.
Okay.
Otherwise, imagine water in a pond. Where's the vitality,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And here's what's mind-blowing. Blood's role extends beyond physical transport. Historically, various cultures and thinkers, including Plato, have suggested that blood is connected to the soul or consciousness. This esoteric perspective views blood as a carrier of not just physical substances, but also spiritual and energetic information.
Yeah, so I just denoted a bit about animal sacrifices,
yeah,
because of that relationship between the spiritual realm and mankind.
Yeah, there's definitely some connection that we are just starting to learn.
Yeah.
And even Rudolf Steiner, you proposed that blood has more of these properties than mere physical properties. And he believed that blood's movement is partly autonomous and that it interacts with the forces beyond the physical. And this perspective aligns with modern findings that blood flow can continue even without the heart, suggesting an inherent vitality within blood itself. These insights remind us that our understanding of blood should encompass not just its physical properties, but also its energetic and its spiritual dimensions. So modern research is starting to catch up with how states of consciousness and mind can influence bodily functions, including blood flow, right? So hence, it affects our health and wellness in general as well. So these concepts might take time for us to understand on a more technical level, like how actually this whole thing plays out. But, and also it'll take, I think it'll take time to be widely accepted, because, you know, it takes time for people to catch up, for the conventional system to catch up. But why wait, right? At the end of the day, the solution still remains simple and doesn't cost anything, because that won't change, right? So in practices like meditation, mindfulness does affect our mental and emotional state, which is pretty damn obvious and have shown to improve not just cardiovascular health, but also overall health, right? And this in itself suggests a profound connection between the mind and the blood.
That's pretty interesting.
It's very simple, but that's what it is. And as we have spoken about this before in previous episodes, that our bodies are deeply connected to the cosmos, right? The iron in our blood, as we mentioned, it actually originates from stars that exploded billions of years ago.
Wow.
So this cosmic connection goes further. The rhythms of the earth and cosmic cycles can influence our biological rhythms. Just a reminder that the rhythms of the earth and cosmic cycles that I'm referring to is include phenomena such as that of the Schumann resonance and other natural vibrations. And as per my current understanding, which could change as I learn and grow, so don't doubt me. The Schumann resonance is a set of extremely low frequency electromagnetic waves that exist in the Earth's electromagnetic cavity This cavity is created by the space between the earth surface and the ionosphere. And these resonances are generated primarily by lightning strikes and have been measured at frequencies around 7.83 Hz, with harmonics at approximately 14.3, 20.8, 27.3, and 33 Hz. This 7.83 Hz frequency is often referred to as the Earth heartbeat. And I don't mean to go off topic, but it just blows me, you know, this interconnectedness that I have started to learn about. And one of the most fascinating aspects of the Schumann resonance is its synchronization with human brain waves. The primary frequency of 7.83 Hz is within the range of the alpha brain wave. And the alpha brain wave is between 8 and 12 Hz approximately. And alpha brain waves are associated with relaxed states of consciousness, creativity, and meditative states. And even as I practice quantum hypnosis and hypnosis, that's the state we first take the client into, right? It's a relaxed state. That is what it is. And that's where the person becomes more, the subconscious, the door to the subconscious opens up.
Yeah, the person becomes more attuned.
Attuned there inside. Yeah. So, and Schumann resonance also plays a role in regulating the circadian rhythm, the natural cycles of sleep and wakefulness. So we are all aware of this, the role of circadian rhythm on our overall health, and it impacts everything from hormonal balance to cognitive function. And disruptions to circadian rhythms are actually linked to various health issues, including insomnia, depression, metabolic disorders, etc. And for all the research buffs out there, there has been ample research done, and one of which is the research published in the Journal of Alternative and Complementary Medicine that has shown that grounding, which is also what synchronizes the body with the Schumann resonance, had shown to improve sleep, reduce pain, decrease stress by affecting cortisol levels and inflammation. So anyways, let's get back to today's topic of blood. So Schumann resonance does influence the human cardiovascular system, right? The electromagnetic fields, the waves interact with the body's own electromagnetic field, okay. Which, and of course, the heart also has its own electromagnetic field, and I'm pretty sure somewhere even there might be some connection with it, also with blood in itself, because we are still learning more about it. So, and we know that these fields do affect blood flow and heart rate variability.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything is connected with these. So, and even water, which makes up majority of the blood, structured water, is influenced by electromagnetic fields, including those of the Schumann resonance and any other electromagnetic field, whether it's native or non-native, right? So, given the age and times we live in, where there's a lot of non-native electromagnetic fields, it becomes highly essential that we do take steps. It doesn't mean we go and we live in the forest, but it is essential that we do take steps to protect ourselves and at least reduce the exposure of non-native fields and be more tuned and aligned with the native electromagnetic fields of nature of the earth. Right. So, without getting too much into detail, I'd just like to mention that minerals like magnesium, calcium, sodium, phosphorus, you know, the electrolytes, They are also involved here. They interact with structured water in the blood. And this interaction is influenced by the Schumann resonance as well, and other electromagnetic fields, and even thought and consciousness affects it. Because after all, minerals are, they are conductors, not all of them, but they are conductors of electricity. Like they interact with electricity, right? So somewhere there is always going to be a connection with what we think, because when we think, we generate waves.
Yeah.
And because since the very basis of life is energy, and wherever there is energy, there are fields. So it's as simple as that. Right. So, For example, let's take an example. Magnesium and calcium ion help stabilize structured layers of water, enhancing the exclusion zone's properties. So structured water being more conductive helps facilitate efficient ion transport and electrical signaling in the body. In short, where is all this happening? It's taking place in blood.
Yeah.
So, and as far as disease manifestation is concerned, understanding diseases such as hypertension and cardiovascular disease, conventionally these conditions are viewed through an incomplete lens, which involves only the biochemistry and physical mechanics. However, for example, hypertension is often seen as a result of increased resistance in the blood vessels, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? And this requiring the heart to work harder to pump blood, which can lead to cardiovascular diseases over time, etc., etc. However, the cause and manifestation of the diseases is much more complex and multifaceted once we take a holistic look and take into considerations the factors that we have ignored as humans. For instance, when the body's structured water is compromised, perhaps due to dehydration or poor diet or mineral deficiency or imbalance or lack of grounding, exposure to native electromagnetic fields, it can disrupt blood flow and lead to conditions like hypertension.
Yeah.
So you see, it's the influence of these factors on the blood. Rather than we always think of heart, sure, there is some connection to that as well, but this is also involved. Furthermore, the interaction between blood and electromagnetic fields is crucial. Electromagnetic pollution from electronic devices do interfere with the body's natural electronic fields, including that of the heart, also affecting blood flow, because it does affect directly the blood as well, without, you know, of course the heart as well, but even the blood itself.
Yeah.
So this, as I mentioned, increases the risk of hypertension and cardiovascular diseases. So a very simple thing that will not cause anything is like grounding, you know, just walking barefoot, and this can at least help like mitigate some effects by restoring the body's natural electrical balance, improving the blood flow, and as you mentioned, reducing inflammation.
Yeah, this is what we need. This is the, I think, the ultimate health goal at the end of the day.
Exactly.
To go above and beyond what's so, we have so much of intricate knowledge about things, but then at the end, it's all so simple.
It's always simple. You don't have to worry. You don't have to get like, oh, bothered that, oh my God, there's so much. But however much there might be, the simples are always the same. It's always the basic stuff. And consciousness and emotional states.
That's true.
Also significantly impact blood pressure and heart health.
Of
I
course,
think no one would deny that.
Yeah, just as I said before, that of course, because of fast blood, then fast blood is actually because someone is
angry.
You know, yeah, angry or too excited, the emotions are out of control.
Yeah, but basically no one can hold excitement for that long. So generally the
negative emotions are much, definitely.
And not just anger. Not just anger in the short term, but when people carry a resentment or an anger either for someone else or for themselves, that why was that this way? Why did I do that?
Yeah.
Even that in itself, yeah. I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. So chronic stress.
Yeah. Chronic stress.
We can say that chronic stress and negative emotions, these are the things that definitely do lead to sustained high blood pressure. And even the doctors won't deny that.
Eventually. Yeah, of course. I mean,
it's a precursor to
heart attacks and strokes. I mean, these just become a reason.
And we can easily connect the dots.
Yeah,
we can easily connect the dots as to how, you know, these chronic stress and all these issues that we carry within ourselves, in our minds, it trickles down to the physical level, and its effects on our biochemistry,
yeah,
directly influences our biochemistry to the point, like, for example, shifts our nervous system,
completely. The and then even if it's shifting our nervous system, so we also have the vagus nerve, which is connected to the heart as well.
The heart as well.
So heart rate variability.
Yes.
Then, of course, through the gut, because we have the enteric nervous system. Mm-hmm. So it's our gut is basically talking to our brain. So that one is there.
And there's more cortisol, and then the digestion is disrupted, and then there might be overgrowth, and then that will cause inflammation in the gut, and then eventually that spreads to systemic, when it affects the blood sugar level, and then causes, in the long term, type 2 diabetes, things like that. And then eventually that kind of either before or after leads to hypertension.
Yeah.
And so you see, in the end, these dots can be connected. It's nothing very strange that we are talking about. And we, humanity, have known, that there has been, and especially as we are learning more about the blood, there is more to blood, there is more to even the thyroid. There's more to everything that we have ever known. So it's not like the knowledge that we currently have is full of errors. It's just mostly incomplete, because the body has always been considered, so far till date, a biochemical machine, which is nothing more than matter.
Yeah.
Right? But as we are shifting and changing and learning more, I believe that time is not too far when the epidemic of diseases will be over, as old systems either fall or adapt.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And that's what we want to do. That's our job. And we are here contributing to contributing towards, I don't want to say like now a new or better, because a lot of those words have been polluted.
Okay.
Right? But contributing towards a more harmonious future, where we are in alignment with our divine nature.
Yeah.
Right? And so as we come to a close of today's episode, the message or the need of the hour is that we broaden our perspective and shift our focus away from conventional beliefs that are lacking and forever searching for an answer in a human manufactured solution, be it a pill or a machine, and shifting and adapting, returning back to our roots, our traditions, back to nature, to the cosmos, and to consciousness, back to our origin, and that's where we truly belong. The study of blood and even the understanding of the human body is far from complete. But deep in our hearts, we already know the solutions. Practices like grounding, hydration with structured water, eating clean, whole, organic, unprocessed foods, mindfulness, being in touch with our inner selves, prioritizing family, friends, happiness, letting go of negative beliefs and thought patterns, etc. In the end, it's all about that, and you know it. We are just reminding you of it. It all boils down to that.
Yeah.
Right? And before we wrap up, just a reminder.
As always, our mission is to empower you guys to reclaim your wellness and align with your higher self, unlocking the path to true happiness and fulfillment. So for this, we offer you a comprehensive monthly subscription that provides all the information, resources, and support you need to make this transformational shift. And this is not a teaser or a bait and switch of that sort. But there are no hidden upsells or agendas over here.
Our sole purpose is to provide you with the holistic guidance you deserve.
Yeah.
Nothing more. And sometimes, not sometimes, almost every time, just having the information is not enough. You need to be with that community. You need to have those kind of people around you.
You need to
that
be
support.
In that frequency.
You need to be in that frequency.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we would like to introduce, and also make it affordable and accessible
to everyone. A lot of people, yeah.
So please consider joining our vibrant community and allowing us to be your steadfast companions on this journey of self-discovery and wellness. Your subscription not only empowers your own growth, but also helps us to continue this important work that we are doing.
So we love what we do and we want to share with all of y'all. That's that.
Exactly. Together, let's unlock the boundless possibilities that await when we align our mind, body, and spirit.
Yes.
And work in a more holistic way, getting back to nature. So thank you for joining us on this episode of our Journey to Wellness and Beyond. And remember that we are one with the universe around us. Until next time, see you.
Bye.